Tokyo's famous Tsukiji Market is being shut down, marking the end of 83 years of bustle and trade at what became the world's largest fish market. The disappearing of street markets is not only happening in Japan, but also in China's major cities. So let's talk about what's going on in Japan first, about this Tsukiji Market or Zhudi Shichang. It's so famous that there's actually a brand of sushi restaurants that have inherited this name. So let's talk about the disappearance of a fresh market and why is it kind of a big deal?
Well, I'm only hearing about it now. This world's largest wholesale seafood market at Tsukiji. It is once again scheduled to be relocated for the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. And the move has been postponed for 2 years during testing of soil containment levels at the new location, Fish Market site located on a man-made island in Tokyo Bay. Now, the move is back on, at least for the Tsukiji Central Market wholesalers. Buyers and sellers are resigned to the move, but have their reservations. So Tokyo Governor Yuriko Koike said that they are planning to utilize the site as a depot for the Olympics and a transport base. After that, they are thinking of turning it into a new market, which will also function as a food theme park and a major base in promoting Tokyo. I think it makes some kind of sense to still retain the location as a food theme park because, well, at least so far we know, it's earned the name as the world's largest wholesale seafood market. I believe a lot of people who travel to Tsukiji will want to pay a visit there. Because I remember paying a visit to Seattle, and my wife and I did a little study about where to visit in the city, and apparently they had a very famous seafood market where they sell fresh seafood.
Pike's Place.
Oh yeah, Pike's Place is it? I can't remember specifically the name, but we did pay a visit, and they have different vendors. What do you call them? Vendors selling fresh seafood, and they can cook it for you real time. You buy the seafood, they cook it for you, and you bring it in a plate or in a cup. And you walk through the supermarket, smell the fragrance or stench, whatever you call it, from seafood. And it's a life experience.
And yeah, you're right by the ocean, so it's great. I remember going to Pike's Place when I was living in Seattle, and we would try to go there every week because every week they had like different you know, fruits and vegetables and different vendors, and there's a big art scene there, and of course music. And in Seattle, the style, it was like a subculture. It's just, you know, a lot of youth would hang out there, and like a lot of skateboarding. I mean, it was just like a different flavor of the city. So it was, yeah, Pike's Place was awesome.
It's a refreshing experience. The best picture I've taken about my wife was the one I took near the seafood market in Seattle.
So I wonder if that had anything to do with the activity going on there or the atmosphere that made you capture her beautiful smile.
Was the graffiti. It's a beautiful graffiti near the seafood market. So you can tell, like, just Tony just inspired me that there are young people there hanging out doing whatever they would like to do, like painting walls and just hanging out. So it's a different experience, and visitors would certainly love to hang out there.
Yeah. Well, with what's happening here, well, in Japan, actually, in Tokyo, I can understand that with the 2020 Olympic Games sort of in the near future, and there's a lot of construction, new planning, and arrangement of things going on in the city, and this very famous, actually, and traditional fish market has to be moved somewhere else. And apparently the local people were not very happy about that because it sounds like a major change for those who actually live there, as we all need to go grocery shopping. And also, for some reason, I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about this, that people seem to have a very almost personal attachment towards these fresh markets. And why is that?
Well, I can't speak for the people in Japan, but I grew up in a farm town. So every week we would have farmers markets. And these markets were an opportunity to get to know the community. So I think it's more than just buying food. It's really getting to know the people around you and hearing their story. And also, of course, it's different to buy food and fish or whatever the produce that you're getting. It's different to buy it locally grown than from a store, because typically the taste is different, and also you have a relationship with the farmers themselves. So it's like a small community that you're building. And so when that is just taken away, I can imagine how some people would definitely feel disappointed and want to contest the decision, because it's like you're pulling away part of their family.
I think it's also part of some people's lifestyle. I remember when my grandpa retired, he took it upon himself to go with my grandma every day to the fresh farmers market and to just sort of, they have to sort of hold a meeting beforehand, plan for what kind of things they want to buy. And they would go there. And the commodities there on sale are quite different from what we get in a grocery store in Beijing, I would say. Because they would have, at a farmer's market, you will have villagers who just went out in the middle of the night to sort of catch some fish, and they will bring to the farmer's market first thing in the morning, and you have to be there very early in order to get those. And you have also beef from freshly slaughtered cattle, and when you are late, and the beef wouldn't be as fresh. So it's a different kind of lifestyle. There are also people offering services to sort of slaughter ducks and chicken for you. So when you walk beyond that part of the village, of that market, you feel the stench and you see the blood, and you feel the stench coming from disemboweled animals. Ooh. It's a totally different way of living, although for good or for ill, it is for you to tell, but it's essentially a part of how people live their everyday life. And to have that taken away from them, I can totally sympathize with the locals in Tsukiji.
Well, that's one thing I like to actually make a distinction here, because, well, I don't really know, actually, in Japan, if they would
slaughter chicken and ducks,
poultry on the spot, and Lai Ming always do such a great job in painting the picture, and I'm just thinking about
disemboweled animals.
Bloodbath. And I don't necessarily know if that is what Japanese people do with poultry.
Probably not.
But I do remember traditionally, or years ago when I was still just a little girl, visiting the traditional fresh market, or you can call it wet market, with my parents and seeing that happen. In Chinese cuisine, I suppose, and this is to some extent something that Chinese people really take priority of, that is, when we eat meat, we like it to be very fresh. Xianmei. Mm. You know, so it's like freshly taken from the butchers, and then when you cook it, it's considered the best kind of produce, best kind of dish, and it does taste very different, actually, as opposed to what you get from the supermarket when everything's so clean and sterilized, I feel. And if you only visit the supermarket, it's highly possible that you can never imagine, if you haven't seen before, what the animals used to look like. And you're thinking that this is almost like meat, or parts of, yeah, just meat. You don't even think about the animal, and often a assembly line almost. And I think in a way it's deliberate to keep it that way, almost detached, industrialized, and supposedly clean. And you get it and you can cook it at home, but the taste is just different.
Yeah, you mentioned supposedly clean, and I think that's the key here, and it's knowing the history of what you're eating and having that relationship with, you know, the vendor owners or the farmers or the people who get the fish. It's important to know the process of what happens and how clean the animal is and how fresh it is, because as you mentioned, a lot of people like fresh food. And when you go to the supermarket, it's a bit difficult to know how long it's been there. And it's a tag that you're reading and you're not sure if it's accurate or not. So it's very important to, if you have this relationship built up with a lot of different farmers and it's just gone, it could be pretty devastating for people who need to know the history of the food they're eating.
And then for customers who shop at grocery markets in downtown, like in Beijing and big cities, you don't really necessarily know what you're getting. I mean, those mass-produced or mass-grown farm animals. Whereas when you go shopping at a farmer's market, this is a villager who sort of raises this chicken or this duck at home, mm-hmm. and you know then the meat is going to taste quite different from what you get at a grocery market in Beijing. I can personally tell there's a difference. I just paid a visit to my hometown last week, and getting fresh beef in the farmer's market, I can totally tell it tastes much sweeter than the beef you get, say, imported from Australia or USA.
It's quite interesting with the possibly pros and cons of the traditional fresh market. As when we look at what's going on in Tokyo, according to the official announcement, is basically saying that these central operations of the fish market has to go because of the old building structure. And we know Japan is a country that's prone to earthquakes, and it's simply not as safe anymore, and it needs a revamp kind of thing. And also with this new thoroughly modern building that stands ready to house the seafood market at Toyosu, the man-made island in Tokyo Bay, there's some controversy there about water contamination. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what does it mean for this famous and old fish market called Tsukiji when it's moved to its new location. And I think in a way you can see that with these old markets, sometimes there are some valid concerns that they need to be upgraded or they need to move because of safety and other issues.
This sounds a little bit similar to something that happened back in the United States in 2005, the Fulton Fish Market, when it relocated from Manhattan to Hunts Point in the Bronx. And the historical location of it was near the Brooklyn Bridge along the waterfront of Fulton Street in the financial district of Manhattan. Wow. So this was a really big move. A lot of people in that area were really distraught about that because, I mean, it's been there for 193 years. And it was just the most important wholesale East Coast fish market in the United States. I mean, it opened in 1822, excuse me, and it was the destination of fishing boats from across the Atlantic Ocean. So it was a big adjustment for a lot of people. But now, the new location in Hunts Point Cooperative Market, it handles about millions of pounds of seafood daily, with the annual sales exceeding $1 billion. Mm. And is second in size only to, well, the Tokyo Tsukiji Fish Market. And this is coming from the New York Times. So I think that it will take some time for people to adjust, and it will be a bit rough for a while, but I think people will adapt.
Yeah, I think it's going to be particularly challenging for frequent visitors of the Tsukiji market, precisely in the sense that it's going to be elderly people who would have stay loyal to the old place, because in that sense, when the market is relocated to a different location, those elderly people will have a lot more challenges in commuting to the location, mm-hmm. and also in playing as regular customer to that location. Because really, when we look at younger people, people of my age living in Beijing, we found other more convenient ways to get grocery. Here it is possible to, I'm currently using one of the app platforms online to order grocery, and it's possible for you to get your grocery or go within 1 hour after you place the order.
Oh, wow.
So that's very impressive. And also, I have to say, the quality of grocery products you get from those platforms beats those you get from a local grocery market.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's the case. At least that's the case in my neighborhood.
One of the things that I think that the brick and mortar stores that always trumps the the e-commerce platforms is that I think there, of course, is this sense of a community, you know, the social function. But when it comes to grocery shopping, I always find the traditional markets to provide you with fresher vegetables, meat, and all kinds of things you want to get. I always find that, Lai Ming. So, and I think that these traditional markets are better than, of course, the supermarkets, because the supermarkets, they don't offer you so much choice of one vegetable. In these traditional markets, there's different vendors, and then let's say I want to get some pak choy or you cai in Chinese, and there's three vendors or more that I can check them out, and if there's one vendor that's got vegetable with fresh, do you want it, then I'll probably get that one. But in supermarkets, you don't get that choice. Usually it's just lump sum, a huge pile of one type of vegetable that is kind of dry.
And you have to pick through it and also fight against other competitors who's also picking through it.
Exactly. So I don't like that. So a traditional fresh market, I think, wins on this one. And also, when compared to the e-commerce platforms, Lai Ming, how do you know that they're giving you fresh stuff? Like, sometimes if you're lucky or, you know, then I guess you do, but that's not so reliable as someone who likes to eat, high quality stuff, and I don't mind paying a tiny bit more, you know, sometimes, that I think is really important that I know what I'm getting, and it is fresh. So, again, traditional market or e-commerce. Well, what do you think, Tony?
Well, I think, like, in our daily lives, we have to grow and adapt to different factions of life. I think that these fresh markets also need to also adapt. And this, we're moving into an e-commerce sector in the world, and I feel that they're going to have to step it up and start shipping their products as well. And we mentioned Pike Place earlier, and at present, they actually ship almost everything in the next day delivery. So it's something that I believe some of the bigger markets are stepping up and doing. And I think that this is something that a lot of them are going to have to do if they want to stay open and they want the business, because it seems that we're getting busier as time goes by. Mm-hmm. And I know that I would love to go to a fish market or an open market and buy produce. But if I'm working 6 days a week and the only day I have off, I don't really want to spend it at a market. Mm-hmm. So I would much prefer to just go online and order something and have it shipped to me. Now, if these fresh markets have the option for them to send it to me, then I would most definitely love to do that. So I think that this may be something that all of them would need to consider if they want to continue to stay in business.
I'm afraid I've got some basic concepts messed up. Previously, what I said, the food I get from a local grocery market in Beijing isn't as good as those that I get from a food ordering platform. What I really meant was actually a supermarket near in my neighborhood, and I haven't had time to pay a visit to the fresh market. Yeah. There is one in my neighborhood, but I haven't had the time to go there. And I think this is a question here for young people. We probably don't have the time to sort of make a stroll all the way to the fresh market and then fight or bargain with whoever is selling those products. I mean, it's kind of fun if you think about it, but I think this is the kind of fun for elderly people who have retired and have got nothing to do. And also, it's not like fresh markets don't have their own vices. Like I just mentioned, the picture that I just painted about the stench and the blood and gore and disemboweled animals, poultry in the fresh market, that's probably something people might not have the stomach for. So I'm thinking that maybe going forward, perhaps those fresh markets can improve in this regard, and perhaps at least the sanitary conditions can improve a little bit. And also, when it comes to fresh markets, farmers markets, one of my uncles works at the local industrial and commercial administration, and one of his responsibilities was to sort of keep order at a fresh market. And he had a lot of problems or runnings with farmers who just went to the supermarket for once to sell whatever they got. It could be a wild bird or some fish they caught in the river. But the thing with them is they didn't have the license to sell at the fresh market, nor is there any means to make sure that whatever food they are selling are safe. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, and also they probably don't pay tax. So I'm thinking that perhaps a little regulation in fresh markets could maybe make things much easier. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons why cities like Beijing, Shanghai, big cities, they're trying to improve the facilities within their city.
Yeah, you make a really good point. But actually, I would argue that this improvement sometimes backfires.
What, getting rid of the stench of disemboweled poultry?
Well, okay, so sometimes in the name of improving these fresh markets, instead what I see, they're gone. And the replacement is a small supermarket with the dry vegetables that's on display every day. Then I would argue that they have not done a great job in that sense. And of course, I'll give the example of my local fresh market, and it is gone, replaced with this supermarket. And it's not cheap, because it's not like the big supermarket chains that possibly because they bring in such big volume of vegetables and all kinds of goods, they can keep the price low. So with the smaller supermarkets, yeah, they're not cheap, and they don't and I don't see the vendors that bring in stuff from their farms or wherever they get the fresh vegetables. And instead, I think it's actually a poor option that's been provided to the local people that just want something affordable and fresh to be presented on the dinner table.
It is possible that the authorities have fallen short of providing a substitute for whatever they've moved out. But depending on where you live, I think the same thing has also happened in my neighborhood, where they closed off a fresh market. But instead, it is possible, I'm not sure if the same thing applies to your neighborhood, but it is possible that some vendors, they will come straight from the wholesale fresh market into your community.
Yeah.
Like every 3 times every week or 4 times every week, they'll come and then sell vegetables in the very first thing in the morning. So many, like when my parents paid me a visit, they made it a regular thing. They get up very early to sort of go to a square and they shop for vegetables, and they are very satisfied with what they get. Mm. So I'm thinking perhaps in your neighborhood, the authorities haven't quite caught up with it.
Yeah, and that is certainly, I know you have something to say, Tony, but we'll come back to this after this break. And certainly this is one of the things that affects the daily lives of people, and we'll talk more after this break. Stay with us.